Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
As soon as he used to come, there was a tower either side here. Kind of, you know, looming over you. They made a thing out here, the family, years ago. It was Roddy Doyle wrote it for RTE and the BBC. And they were driving up burnt out cars and asking the people to hang stuff out the windows to make it look more run down, you know what I mean? Like, because it didn't look run down enough for artistic purposes.
Send me home, send me home.
It's mad because we seem to be stuck before I was 5 years of age in lots of weird ways.
Colm Keegan, poet and playwright who lived in Ballymun as a small child.
I remember reading somewhere that if you look at certain tortured writers, they had big changes around the age of five, which is mad, so... So we're coming up now to where they used to live. So they're digging away there on the left, which some of the flats are still getting torn down. I remember when I was looking at the buildings being torn down, and they had one half of the building gone, and you could see all the bathrooms and the kitchens and all the colour. And you could actually, it was like you could feel the warmth of all the different families that lived there. Not a very forgiving landscape. It's not like when you fall on grass you bounce a bit, you know what I mean? Like out here when you fall you get hurt. And one of the resounding memories with me is just lying in bed at night in the dark and hearing the echoes of people shouting or, you know, kids playing or whatever. It's a very echoey place, and it's a great, it's kind of a real hollowness to inside there, you know. This is the first thing I had published, actually, and it was published in the Tribune. It's a direct rewrite of Stony Gray's Soil of Monaghan by Patrick Kavanagh. And when he wrote that, he was giving out about how Monaghan shaped him, his circumstances, his rural upbringing, and hampered him in some ways. So we always connected with that. So we kind of did the exact same thing. So it's just called Stony Gray's Soil. Ballymun, you rock-hard bitch. My childhood love you taved. Your harsh nature quarried my passion. You carved me from barren streets. You concreted the feet of my boyhood and twisted my stride to a stumble. Your sprawl corrupted my naive tongue, Indian ink in my guttural mumble. You preached from the trough of the scrounger, the heaving life-strangling trough. Your mantra stained, your culture stunted. You kept diamonds dull in the rough. You screamed across piss-stained balconies, the wail of the deserted brood. You stewed my clothes in smoke and bills. You reared me on stale food. Your silhouette sours my vision of beauty, love and truth. Ballymun, you barren whore. You spoiled the stock of my youth. Not for me, golden views of mothers as poverty-free young hens. So I vowed to stab at your crusted back and embrace the poison pen that scars these loveless verses and courses the tarmac where the forced clean flight of my fury got caught in a poet's prayer. Cant, McDermott, Balbucha, Shangarn, wherever I run I see the stony grey rubble of Ballymun rebuilt as dark towers in me.
What was the view like from them?
The view was great, sure, we'll go up and have
it. Yeah.
Like being 5 years of age and sitting on these steps and kissing a girl like for the first time, you know, which was mad. Like, it was so dark, but it was such a beautiful thing, you know what I mean? Like, And I can remember looking out, like, you've got these slats now on each flight of steps. You've got slats.
Like kind of grids almost, little windows.
Just to let the light in. And I can remember looking at them after the first time I fell and split myself, because the stairs are pretty unforgiving, you know. There was an art to running down them as a kid. So you'd hold the handrail and you'd take two stairs at a time and you'd jump the last two. So if you know, you jump three, and then the last three on their own. So it was like, the rhythm of it was like, da-dum, da-dum, slap, da-dum, da-dum, slap. And you'd swing around and get out the next floor, you know. I still dream of here, you know, like, I'm 36 now, and I still dream of here. There's so much symbolism attached to the place in my own head. Like, a recurring dream of, like, playing football on the roof, on the top of the flats where nobody could get to, and it's covered in grass, you know. I remember, like, running in a pack with a gang of other kids, and there was this thing about the seventh floor, like this kind of mystical place, you know, beyond the place beyond all other places. And I remember, like, the feeling of running up and going, we're going to the seventh floor, and you run up, like, and it would have been my first time up here, and I was like, oh, is that it? You know what I mean? That's a bit nasty, you know. What we're seeing now is very different. You've got the church, which is identical, hasn't changed at all. The school is the same. But then beyond that, there used to be like a rolling prairie of football fields. And there used to be a van there. All the blocks had vans. Instead of having to go all the way to the shops. But it's mad, like, I was just looking at the church there. I just remembered as we were talking. The first time myself and my brother were sent to Mass. And my ma says, you just have to go. Like, my ma didn't bring us to Mass. She made us go to Mass, right? So she sends us across and she gives us money. That's for the collection box, you know. And I go, right, oh, money, nice one. So we went down to the van and I bought loads of sweets. And things was like the cinema. So we went across the road. Myself and my brother were at the back with loads of chewing gum and all, sitting there, like, kind of eating and going, what's this all about? This is good. Not knowing what was going on, you know. And everyone laughing at us because we were treated like a movie. Yeah. It's like progress doesn't care about what you want to still have there. It keeps moving on, and you need those touchstones, you know. And I remember it was up in the storehouse in Guinness's, and I could see the towers, and I kind of gave them a mental two fingers in my head. I was like, yes, I'm nearly gone. But then when I come out here now and I'm looking around, it's like, you know, it's good for society and it's good for the people out here that things are moving on. But from a selfish point of view, you kind of want it to be there so you can react to it, you know, that way. There was one time when I came out real early in the morning and I decided to just start throwing my toys off the balcony, right? And like, a crowd gathered, you know, and I thought, this is brilliant. And I ended up throwing out, giving everything away, thinking, oh, this is great, everyone's my friend now. Like, I was, again, very young. And then, of course, they all went when everything was gone. Do you know what I mean? But it all was stuck. I was trying to say it to my own kids once, like, as a metaphor for fame, do you know what I mean? But they just thought it was the most funny, ridiculous and stupid thing to do. They say, hey, wait to hear what my dad did to Big Egypt, you know.
Do you think you might write something different about it now, you know what I mean, how many years later?
I do feel guilty about that poem in some ways, because it's harsher in a lot of ways than it should be. And Kavanagh's poem, he kind of relents, he kind of lets Monaghan off the hook a little bit at the end. The Fringe show that we were doing for the Fringe Festival, my introductory part was based in Ballymun, and I was giving it loads about, like, the urban bleakness and all, but then there's a line in it, like, all urban bleakness aside, it was still amazing to have a house up in the sky, because it was mad to be a kid and to sit here and kind of reach out over the balcony and have a look out there, you know.
Colm Keegan, poet and playwright who lived in Ballymun as a small child.
So you never had a fear of heights in your life then, anyway? That's one thing it gave you.
Yeah, like, do you know what? My ma'll kill me for telling you this, but there was one time I got Batman pyjamas, so I decided to climb out the window, and I was only four, and I climbed out, put my leg out over the windows, like, because we whatever beds we had, it was easy to make it up and out the window. So I was out on the outside, walking along the ledge, thinking, you know, I'm Batman. And everyone was on the ground down below, screaming up, like, get in, get in.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big.